If I haven't met you yet, my name is Glenn Kyle, and I am the youth pastor here. I was announcing my youth events, what's going on and happening around here. So a couple questions for you to start off with. When you think about praying, when you think about talking to God, what kind of pops in your head first? Maybe for you, it's the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. Or maybe some of you think about a funny prayer or something where you're like, oh, I remember this prayer in this movie. It was really funny. One that always pops into my head is, have you guys ever seen Talladega Nights and these like prays to baby Jesus and stuff like that? I'm like, oh my goodness, totally way off field. Or maybe, you think of like Meet the Parents and the totally awkward prayer that he prays in there, or maybe your mind, maybe you're like me, you're kind of from the 80s, and your mind goes to Bon Jovi. Whoa, halfway, come on, you know. Whoa, living on a prayer. Oh yeah, thanks, awesome. There you go. Yeah, I won't sing anymore, I promise. We have lots of things that we think about when we think about prayer, and when that pops into our minds, we have lots of emotions and lots of different ways of praying that we have contemplated in life. When I was thinking about prayer, I was actually reminded of this joke that I saw. Have you ever been to somebody's house to visit them, and you take like your first bite of food, and all of a sudden somebody says, let's pray, and you're like, oh man, and you kind of get that awkward like, oh man, I totally messed that one up, and you're like trying to make it seem like you don't have any food in your mouth, you're trying not to chew, and you're like kind of holding it in or whatever and stuff like that, and it's like you kind of get that look like kind of like hiding or whatever. Super awkward, right? I don't know if that's happened to you, but that happens to me sometimes. Anyways, the reality is prayer is our way of connecting with God. Maybe for you, I guess I have a question about when is it that you pray? Like, do you pray all the time, or do you pray like at meal times? Do you have specific times in your life like, oh, this is when I pray and set it up? What are the times that you think, okay, I need to make sure that I pray before I go on a long trip or before I eat or different things? Like, what's your rhythms of prayer? How have you worked that into your life so that it becomes part of who you are? Or maybe you're here today and you're like, that's not part of my life. And so today I'm hoping to kind of give you a framework for prayer that'll help you think about like, oh, maybe this is something I need to include in my life. We're not the first people to wonder about this. We're not the first people to think like, oh, how do I pray? What does this look like? There's a man by the name of Eugene Peterson, and he wrote an English translation of the Bible called The Message. And he would have people come to him and say like, I don't understand the Psalms. And so he would translate them kind of for them, just for them. And eventually he got to the place where he's like, okay, I'm going to translate the Psalms. And so he did. He translated the Psalms, and eventually he ended up translating the whole Bible. But this is what he says in his introduction to the Psalms. Most Christians for most of the Christian centuries have learned to pray by praying the Psalms. We have to remember, as we look at the Psalms, they are both prayer and poetry. Many of these songs were put to music, and some of them we still sing today. Last summer, Scott took us through a series on the Lord's Prayer. The disciples looked at Jesus' life and realized the power of his life, the power of what he did, was actually connected to his connection with God. The disciples could have asked Jesus for anything. They could have asked him to teach about leadership, or to teach them about how to preach, or teach them about parables, all these different things. How do I make a great parable so that everybody will be captured, God? Or Jesus, they call out him, and it's like, no. When they looked at his life, they're like, I need to know how to pray. And so that's what they did. Those who spent the most time with Jesus, that's what they needed the most, they realized. If you've not listened to this series from last summer that Scott did on the Lord's Prayer, I would encourage you to spend some time and listen to it. It's really great. It'll give you a great foundation and understanding of the Lord's Prayer. This summer, we're going to look at the Psalms. We're going to be looking at a few specific Psalms by a few different people who are going to kind of share on one Psalm each. This summer series is called God in Real Life, Praying Our Lives Through the Psalms. If you're new to understanding prayer, as some of you are, I was thinking about this week, and I realized, like, if you didn't notice, we have a brand new projector today, which is awesome. Whew. That's why everything's so clear. Maybe you're like, wow, it's way clearer today than normal. It's because we finally got our new projector we've been working on for like 6 months. So it's awesome. I'm like, oh, I'm going to show a video because we got a new projector, right? So it's a video that I've showed to youth many times, and here it is.
What is prayer? In many ways, prayer is a simple thing to do. But sometimes we can have a limited view of what prayer actually is. Now, don't get me wrong. Prayer is a means of supplication and making requests to God. It's just that prayer is also more than that. Prayer is both talking to God and having a relationship with Him. Prayer is making yourself available to God and allowing Him to make Himself available to you. Prayer is a way to ask God for provision for tomorrow and a means by which He provides the sustenance we need for today. So we pray not to get our own way, but rather we pray to align ourselves to God's will. We pray not for things that might create independence from God, but rather we pray as an expression of dependence upon God. Yes, God loves to hear our prayers and requests. He listens to them, He delights in them, and He responds to them. It's just that prayer is also where we can confess our sins, praise His goodness, listen to His voice, and be reminded of truth. Prayer isn't just a way to ask for more fruit, but through prayer, we begin to bear more fruit. Prayer isn't just words spoken at specific times during the day. It's living with a mindset that allows God to transform you throughout all of your days. So don't think of prayer as just an activity done before meals or bedtime, but rather, think of prayer as a way of life.
Awesome. I wanted to show that because I want to create a framework for you if you're new to prayer and you haven't heard of it before or haven't done much of it, or maybe just as a reminder for us as we think about prayer. You know, down through the centuries, wherever Christians have struggled with prayer or simply desire to learn how to pray, they have above all turned to two portions of Scripture, the Lord's Prayer and Psalms. The Psalms are a place I'm currently using for me to kind of teach me how to pray, to give words to my thoughts so I can bring them before God. Psalms are designed not to teach us about God, but to train us to respond to God. The Psalms put words to things we want to say to God, but sometimes don't know how to express. One of my roles here at Lamb Park Church and throughout my life as a pastor has been to work with high school students, with students and talking with them. Oftentimes I've had students come up to me and be like, Glenn, I don't know how to pray. My go-to has kind of been the Lord's Prayer, like, hey, go to the Lord's Prayer and it'll kind of give you a framework. And if you kind of look at that, that'll help you. But more recently I've been looking at the Psalms and trying to understand how it is that I can pray through the Psalms, a way to talk and walk with God, to learn maybe a new language of prayer that I haven't had before in my life. I've prayed through the Psalms lots of times, or talked or like read through the Psalms lots of times, but I've actually never prayed through the Psalms. This is my first time that I've done that. I actually have a little confession as I was preparing for this. I was about 22 days, I had been praying through the beginning of the Psalms. And I was actually really struggling because I was expecting as I prayed through the Psalms that I would have this great connection with God and I would have some Psalm here for you guys today that I could be like, wow, I was praying and talking to God and it was like, it came alive for me and I was like really excited about that. And yet as I had been praying through the Psalms, the first little bit, I actually really struggled to kind of feel like I was using a great connection with God. I was struggling. I was thinking like, God, I want to connect with you, and yet I was just feeling like I was reading them, or there was something amiss there. And in the last couple of days, I actually got to Psalm 22, 23, 24, which are actually really familiar to me. And so those have been actually really rich days for me where I've been really connecting. But leading up to me preparing for this message, I was drawing a blank. And it made me think, like, maybe there's other people in here that have done the same thing, where you've started to read through the Psalms, and you're like, God, I'm missing something, or maybe I'm not doing it right, or and you're just kind of struggling with that whole idea of that. And if that's you here today, you're not alone. I was chatting with a lady this week, and she was telling me when she was growing up as a teenager, she was taught to do things, but not necessarily taught why. Like, why is it that we pray? Why do we spend that extra time? Why is it that we kind of struggle through trying to know God and our relationship with God? Like I said, I've read through the Psalms, but really never prayed through the Psalms. So why do we pray? I believe the end game is this. At the end of our lives, this is the deal. Here's why I believe it's worth it for us to pray. We're reading a book as a staff that's called Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. It's by Ruth Barton. And she was talking about her relationship with God and how she kind of looks at Moses' life and his relationship with God. You know, if you look at Moses, he did a lot of pretty amazing things. He brought the Israelites out of Egypt. He got the Ten Commandments. He led the Israelites for years and was like, did all this amazing leadership stuff and just like an amazing man of God, one of our founding fathers, like people, somebody would look back at me like, Moses was amazing. Ruth Barton, when she was talking about this life of Moses, she thought, what is Moses' greatest achievement in leadership? This is what she said. He knew God and God knew him, which is perhaps the greatest achievement of all. So why do we pray? We pray as a way to know God. The strengths of Jesus' ministry here on earth was directly connected to Jesus' relationship with God. The strength of my ministry here on earth is directly connected to my relationship with God, as is yours. Taking time to pray through the Psalms is worth it because it connects me to God. I'm constantly telling my kids, you know, you don't just become good at things. You actually have to practice them. You have to work at it. You have to you don't just pick up a baseball and like throw it into somebody's glove and catch it the very first time. It takes time, and I've been teaching them and helping them with that. And yet I have to take a little of my own medicine, you know. As I'm learning to pray through the Psalms, maybe some of you have had great, rich moments in the Psalms. And that's what I want with my relationship with God as I read through the Psalms. And so I'm going to work at it as like a skill that I'm going to practice because I want to have that as part of my life. And I want that for everyone in here too. That as you struggle through your relationship with God, as you say, oh, maybe you have rich times where it's like, oh, God is just speaking to me clearly and I understand. And maybe there's times where it's like, hey, I need to put some effort into this. I have to work on this. It's not just going to flow naturally. But I'm going to take the time to make that happen. So now we know why it's important. I hope I've built a case for you to think about why it's important to pray through the Psalms. When we look at the Psalms now, I want to create a little bit of a framework, which Scott was explaining to me that he had read by a guy by the name of Walter Brueggemann. Brueggemann, that's it. And he was talking about the Psalms is kind of like this framed in this way. See, Psalm 1 is set up as a promise, and then Psalm 150 is set up as fulfillment. And then everything in between represents the breadth of the Christian experience. If you're trying to seek and find words to something you're dealing with, it's probably found in the Psalms. There's probably somebody in the Psalms, you know, David or one of the other authors, who's like, man, I'm struggling with this thing, and they've called out to God and said, God, help me with this. You know, everything from, yes, you're there, God, to, God, where are you, to, oh, God, would you please, or, oh, no, I don't know what to do. You know, all the prayers of forgiveness and direction and all the different things are all through the Psalms. It represents so much of our lives, and I would encourage you to spend some time this summer starting to look through the Psalms because it's important. One of the benefits of praying through the Psalms is it gives us this language of relationship with God, to have honesty before God, to say the things that maybe you're like, do I say that to God? Well, yeah, he just wants to hear you. He just wants to hear where you're at, whether you're praising God or frustrated. Wherever you're at, God just wants to know you. The purpose of Psalms is to have fullness of life in God. You know, God loves diversity. If you take yourself a look around, okay, everybody actually look around. Look around at people around you and stuff like that. Nobody is identical, right? Even identical twins, right, are not fully identical. You know, there's different things about them. It's like, I've known several identical twins, and there's like, oh, there's always a few things that are just a little bit different, right? Everybody is different. God loves diversity. He loves the diversity of each of us, and he is like, oh, I want to connect with each of you in a unique way. Every one of you, I want to know you and have a relationship with you. When I was in middle school, sometimes we kind of want to be like other people, right? Have you guys ever felt that way? It's like, I just wish I could speak like this person, or I wish that I could do my job like this person over there. I wish I was good at a sport like this person over there. And so we, in our lives, we have heroes. We have people that we look up to and be like, oh, and it's good. It's not a bad thing to have heroes or people that we're like, man, I wish I could be like this person. I wish that I could kind of emulate this person because they're awesome. When I was in high school, one of my most vivid memories of like trying to emulate somebody was there was this band called Crisscross. Yeah, some of you guys remember that. So me and a couple of my friends, we decided that we would be like Crisscross. And me and Marshall and Tom, we all like talked the day before for a couple of days, and we all wore our clothes backwards. Right? And so we came to school and we all had our clothes on backwards and we were like, hey, what's up? You know, cause they dance like this kind of thing, you know, and stuff. We're like, hey, what's up? Like big baggy clothes. I had like this shirt. Anyways, you know, we all wore our clothes backwards cause we wanted to be like Crisscross, right? We were trying to emulate them and be just like them. You know, no matter how hard we tried, everybody just kind of laughed at us. You know, we couldn't actually be like Crisscross. We did like a lip sync thing, like in our, anyways, we did all this stuff, but it just never really happened. You know what? The same is true in church life. You can't be somebody else. You can only be who God made you to be. Some of us have heroes, which are great. We've read their autobiographies. We've maybe emulated our lives after them. We've listened to their songs. We've learned the lyrics, all that kind of stuff, right? But we can never quite pull off being like somebody else. Because God has created each of us unique, and He uniquely wants to connect with each one of us. You are unique. The interesting thing is that once you find what God made you to be, you'll never want to be anyone else. I'm going to say that again. Once you find what God made you to be, you'll never want to be anyone else. My hope is that you will see that. As we talk about the Psalms this summer, I want for each person today to see how your story can connect in some way with the Psalms. The reality is the Psalms were written out of a very specific circumstance in response to what was happening to the person who wrote it. The great thing about the Psalms is that even though they're written to a very specific time and space, they're very universally applicable. The Psalms are written for the benefit of the church, meant to be prayed with others, to be spoken, to be sung together. So at the risk of standing up here for the whole time and just talking about prayer, I would actually like us to engage in some time of prayer together. So I'm going to lead you in three kind of portions of prayer together. But first of all, I'd like us to read Psalm 1 together, kind of as a way of like, oh, okay, you've read Psalm 1, like you're on your way. You know, you can just kind of keep on reading through the Psalms. Maybe you're like, oh, if you're like me, sometimes I have a hard time getting started. And so like, oh, if I just get started on something, I'm like, okay, then I can keep going, right? So I'm just going to ask you to do some with me. If you could all just stand, because just kind of get the wiggles out or whatever and stuff like that. You know, there are high school students in here, and that's me sometimes. You know, I just like need to wiggle a little bit. So, and we're just going to read the Psalms, the Psalm 1 together. So if you would just join with me and read this. So, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step of the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Awesome. Thank you so much. You can be seated. So one of the things that Jen has been doing with the kids ministry is teaching them to pray out loud. And you don't have to do this if you don't want to, but I'm going to challenge you to kind of pray maybe in a different way. What I'd like to do is just give you a minute. If you look at the beginning of that psalm, it talks about praises and calling out to God in praise and being thankful and having a thankful heart. And so what I'd like to do is all of us praying at once, just for a minute, I'm just going to give you a chance to think about some things that you're thankful to God for. some things like, man, I'm so thankful for this. Thank you, God, for this. And I'm going to resist giving you ideas because I just want this to be your unique opportunity to talk to God. And so all together at once, and I'll kind of close by saying amen. And so that's how you'll know when we're done, and I'll start talking again. But if you just want to call it to God, if you're not comfortable with that, you can just sit and be quiet and listen, or you can talk to God just in your mind. But if you're comfortable, I'm going to challenge you to kind of step out a little bit. The kids do this all the time. It's awesome. And so I just want to encourage you to try this as something a little bit different. So would you just call it to God and say, God, I'm thankful for this, and just going to give you a minute to do that. So here we go. And awesome. Thank you for doing that. If you kind of stepped out, that was awesome. In a way, praying through the Psalms is to do what Psalm 1 says. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Psalm 1, verse 4, talks about the wicked. Maybe you don't feel like you are the wicked, or maybe you feel like you are the wicked, or maybe you're kind of somewhere in the middle, where you're like, okay, well, I'm not wicked, and I'm not, like, good. I'm kind of, like, struggling through this thing. Like, wherever it is that you are, I want to challenge you and encourage you. I'm just going to give you another minute just to pray for yourself, pray for somebody. Maybe you feel like, man, wicked people are around me, like, all the time. And I'm like, I just need to be praying for them. Or maybe you feel like, no, everybody around me is in a good place, and that's great. But I just challenge you and encourage you just to pray for those people that maybe God brings to your mind, whether they're great people or somebody that you'd be like, man, this person is not good. You know, whoever it is that God puts on your mind, I'm just going to give you a minute just to pray for somebody else, to pray for them and say, okay, God, I want to bring this person before you, that they might know you, that they, that they would make good choices in their life. So I'm just going to give you a moment to do that. And I'll, again, close by just saying amen. So you can just do that silently this time. So. Amen. Thank you so much for praying. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and just as a corporate time of worship, as kind of a final prayer here. And lead you in a prayer of repentance. Maybe as you were thinking about that, there was something in your heart and mind that you needed to repent. And sometimes we struggle with the words, the right words to say, to bring before God. And so I want to give you an opportunity to repent and to call it to God and ask for repentance. You know, there's so many different prayers that we could be praying, but I think these are the prayers that I see in Psalm 1. So lastly, I'm just going to pray for this opportunity that God of repentance and that God's watching over us. This promise that he's here with us, that he's watching us, that he desires to know us, that he wants the best for us. Maybe you're here today and you're kind of like... It says it's like, it talks about the righteous. You know, the righteous will be good and in good place. And you're like, man, I am not the righteous. That is not me. Timothy says, there's no one righteous, not even one of us. And yet, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to purify us from all unrighteousness. You know, that's such a cool thing. you know, that before God, we can actually be righteous because of forgiveness of sin, right? When we ask for forgiveness before God's eyes, we are righteous, right? There's nobody in here that is righteous on their own, right? It's only because of a relationship with God. This is not a place for perfect people. This is a place for people that are hurting and have hard things going on in life and you know, difficult things. But and yet, God says when we ask for forgiveness, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we become the righteous, right, before God. And so I'm going to just pray a little prayer with you. You can say it along with me if you'd like in your mind or not. And just give you the opportunity to pray a prayer of repentance, to thank God that he can make us righteous because of that, because of the relationship we have with him. So let's pray together. God, thank you that you love us. God, thank you that that we can come before you and that we can have forgiveness of sins, God. God, I pray that God, if there's somebody here today that needs to know you, God, that wants maybe even for the first time to confess, God, that you just speak to them, that you'd put that on their hearts. God, that God, we know that you love us, God, and you love each one of the people in here. God, your name reveals your mission. Your name, Jesus, means God saves. Jesus, we need your forgiveness. We want to know you. I pray, God, that you would help us to start new patterns in our lives, new patterns of prayer, new patterns where we connect with you in unique and amazing ways, new patterns of changing the things that we do, but also to know you more and more. God, I pray that if there's somebody in here today that needs to know you, that they would understand that we can have righteousness before you, God. I pray that, God, that you would help us to understand more of you. God, thank you that you died for us, that you rose again, and that we can have forgiveness of sins because of Jesus' blood, because you came and you were the perfect sacrifice for us. God, thank you for that. I pray, God, that as people understand more of that, that they would want to know you more. God, thank you that you love us, God. Thank you that you're here with us. Remind us to spend time with you. I ask these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Just over a year ago, I spoke on Psalm 32, and I talked about this idea of Selah. And maybe some of you remember that, and maybe you don't, but it's used 71 times in the Psalms. And it was this musical term, or this kind of like pause in the music, or the pause in a bunch of the Psalms. So as you're reading through the Psalms this summer, which lots of you do, you'll see this little thing and it says Selah. It was kind of this place of pause, this moment of like, okay, I'm just going to take a minute. In a few minutes, we're going to go to communion. And I hope as we come to communion, you can just be like, okay, I'm just going to take a minute and pause. I'm not going to rush into things. I'm just going to pause and think about how it is that I connect with God, how it is that I can connect with God. I feel like in my life, I need more moments of Selah, more moments to reflect, whether it's in a journal or whether it's just quiet before God, right? I think that's something I need more of. We need to just dwell for a minute and think about what maybe we just learned, just to meditate on this. And just think, maybe God's impressing something on us. Sometimes I'm listening and it has absolutely nothing to do with what the person's talking to, and yet God's speaking to me and impressing something on my heart. But I have to be quiet to listen and to hear that. So I'm going to give you a few moments just to think and to think about, okay, what is God impressing on my heart? To have a moment of Selah. And as we come to communion, I encourage you to pause and reflect. So I'm going to ask the worship team to make their way back up on stage. We're just going to have a moment of pause, a moment to reflect before we sing together. So I'm just going to give you just a moment to do that while the worship team makes their way up on stage. When we think about communion, there are going to be more moments of pause, by the way. We're going to be singing some songs. There's going to be other things. So if you want to sit while we're singing, if you just want to kind of reflect, then I want to give you that opportunity to do that this morning before we rush out of here and get off and do the other things that we got going on. I just want to introduce communion to you and just kind of help you understand. If you're new here with us this morning, I just want to explain to you kind of how this works. In a few moments, there'll be four locations here where you can get served communion. We'll start at the back, and those people at the back, if you kind of want to make your way forward first, and then kind of if there's nobody behind you or not many people behind you, you can start making your way up. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you've prayed for forgiveness and desire to know Jesus, then we would invite you to come. If you've not, if you haven't, then I just encourage you to stay seated. You don't have to get up and take communion if you're like, man, I'm not there yet. I just don't believe this yet. That's okay. We welcome you to just stay where you are. But I want to give us a time, a moment to reflect, a moment of Selah. So again, just take that moment. Don't feel rushed or don't feel like you have to stand up or don't feel whatever. Just kind of be in the moment and engage in God, with God. I'm going to invite the communion servers to make their way forward. If you come forward, you'll arrive at the front and these beautiful people will be there to serve you. You'll be given bread and the server will say, "This is Christ's body given for you." Then you can go and take the cup, and the server will say, "This is Christ's blood shed for you." Please feel free to eat the bread and the cup up here, and then there's a little place to kind of put the cup, little basket there. Communion is a symbol that we use to remind us of Jesus' sacrifice for us. Jesus set this example at the Last Supper with his disciples, and we have it reinforced for us in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 24. I'm just going to read that quickly for you. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Today, if you believe in the virgin birth of Jesus, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and believe Jesus is coming back again one day to judge the living and the dead, then we invite you to join us. This unifies us as followers of Jesus. Would you just pray with me? God, thank you for the bread. Thank you for the symbol of the wine and the bread that is a symbol of your body and blood. God, thank you that you died for us. Thank you that you love us. Remind us of these truths often, that we might know you more and be united as a body of believers. Thank you, God. I ask these things in the name of Jesus.